Welcome once again to Skycomish Community Church. We're a word-preaching, people-loving community. If you're looking at the notes right now, you're probably seeing a portion of a bell up in a bell tower, and we just got to ring that bell one more time. We've been ringing the bell about 10 o'clock every single Sunday, even during this pandemic stay-at-home, stay-safe, stay-healthy order, and we are just wanting to make sure that we are still a part of this community. And when people hear the bell, I hope that their heart turns to Jesus and that their prayers go up for everything that's going on in the world right now. We're thankful, Jesus, that we still get to meet, even if it's virtually meeting on recording online. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that soon we'll be able to come back together and have sweet face-to-face fellowship. Help the curve to continue to go downward in Washington State and other states throughout this nation and then throughout the world and all these countries that are being affected. Give wisdom to the leaders. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that the bickering and partisanship will be tamped down and that we will find leadership that wants to look out for what's best for all of their constituents. And please give our leadership nationally, statewide, locally, the ability to make wise decisions without a lot of finger pointing and blame going on. Thank you, Jesus. Continuing with the announcements, all gatherings continue to be on hold. It looks like we're probably looking at not until phase three will churches be able to be opened. During phase two, it sounds like some restaurants will be able to have seating up to a 50% capacity, and that may be a way for us to just see each other. We won't be having religious services, but we can get together as the body of Christ and share a meal across 6-foot distancing between tables and be able to have conversation and some joy and pleasure, and then at the same time supporting some of the businesses as they try to get back to some sort of new normal. Vacation Bible School still might happen. We're hoping for it. August is the target, and if it works out that we're at least up to stage three by August, we'll be able to have a group up to 50, and that would be a great opportunity for serving children. Between the children and the adults, we'll have to figure out the right parameters for how close and what sort of activities, and probably be limiting the relays to things that don't have to be passed back and forth. And we're just looking at all the different ways that we can love one another in a closer space and introduce some children to Lord Jesus Christ. So Vacation Bible School, we're still hopeful it's going to happen, but that's not 100% given yet. If you're interested in sending an offering at all, the Skycomish Community Church, P.O. Box 56, Skycomish, Washington, 98288 is the address. Offerings can be mailed there, or you can also go online, and there's a PayPal donation button on the church website, and you can make donations through that process if you would prefer. This week's prayer spotlight comes from Beaver, Oregon, Beaver Community Church. It's pastored by Josh and Giamara Guard, and they've got a couple children that have been growing up quickly as we have gotten to know this family a little bit. They're a pretty sweet family. They have a lot of interest in their community, and they've been planted there for quite a while. Beaver's a small town in Tillamook County on the Oregon coast. Primary sources of income are farming, logging, and tourism. And right now, the tourism's kind of taken a hit. The farmers and loggers are still trying to do what they can do, but a lot of those industries have been hurting as well. Beaver itself is one of the poorer communities within the county, with much need. Spiritually, the people in the Beaver community tend toward nominal Christianity or Catholicism, and those that are not one of those two things have a mixture of different religious beliefs, often holding none of those beliefs very strongly. Sounds like a lot of America. We praise the Lord for a spiritually healthy church in Beaver. Please pray for continued unity in the congregation and that we will have a good testimony in our community. We also ask prayer that we be a church characterized by both truth and grace, as it is easy to lose grace while being passionate for the truth. Finally, please pray for the opportunities to speak about the gospel with people who visit our church food pantry. With businesses closed and individuals fearful of shopping in town, the food pantry has become a key outreach in the community, and they're able to serve a number of people that way. I think there's a lot of small communities that are seeing an uptick in what's going on with food pantries. Some of it's not wanting to go to town or trying to take fewer trips to town, but some of it's also just financial needs as people have been laid off or feeling like they might be. I think there's this spirit of fear that can take over. Lord Jesus, as we think of the Beaver, Oregon community and all the other small communities in this nation, I ask that we'll find ways to love one another and serve one another. And I pray that spirit of fear can be wiped out by your grace and mercy and love, and help us to have the truth to overcome the fear. Today's message, Ephesians 5. Again, we're still in Ephesians. I'm going to include verse 8b, the last part of verse 8, and then today's text is verse 10. Reason I'm doing that, verse 9 was just a parenthesis. So taking the parentheses out, we can get the complete sentence, the complete thought today. And the message is titled, Children That Please. Today's text, Ephesians 5, 8b and 10. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. We do want to find out how we can be pleasing to you, a pleasant aroma. I pray, Lord God, that you can look down and dance over us, sing and rejoice, and help us to truly understand how much you love your children. Your dwelling place, your bride. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we can be approved as well as learning what it is that pleases you. Amen. Well, finding out is kind of the first part of today's verse, that phrase, find out what pleases the Lord. That's translated a lot of different ways in other translations, English translations. One of those is prove or proving. Trying to learn. Testing. Try to determine. Try to discern. Figure out. Think through. Make it your aim to learn. All of those are different ways of saying find out. Find out what pleases the Lord. And we're looking at this again as children of light, as children of the light, the one and only light, the one that came down and said, let there be light. And there was light. We ask, Lord Jesus, that as we turn to you, we truly can learn what it is that pleases you and what displeases you, and help us to make wise decisions in that area. Most of the sermon today is just going to be a series of verses with some comments. And I really prefer teaching this way because it helps me see that Scripture is one unit. And as we look at how Scripture is consistent and gives a message, we can test one verse against another. We can see how the different verses lend more light to each other. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved. If we want to know what's going to be pleasing to the Lord, what pleases our Lord? If we find out what pleases our Lord, well, I'm sure that something that would please him is that we're doing what would be approved by him. So do your best to present yourself to God. We're actively presenting ourselves to God. Lord, here we are. To God as one approved, a worker. So this isn't a passive thing. It's not like, okay, God, I'm sitting here, I'm in front of you. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. And there's that phrase again about the word of truth. If we keep coming back to truth, if we keep coming back to the word, if we want to really know what pleases the Lord, I'm pretty sure the best place to find it is in Scripture. So getting into God's word, finding out his heart by reading his word, the revelation that he's chosen to give to us, the personalness that you find in Scripture, that he's a loving and living God that wants to reach down into our community, our church community, and personally dwell in us, to love us, to work in us and through us. If we're workers that are unashamed, we're correctly handling the word, we're understanding what the word means, what it says, how it goes together, we're being doers of the word, workers of the word, and not just listeners. We're presenting ourselves to God as workers, as approved workers. Romans 12. I think if you're getting tired of hearing me talk about Romans 12, maybe we all should just get together and memorize this passage, this whole chapter. It's a beautiful summary of how we are to live. Starting in verse 1, Romans 12, and I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. If we want to know what's pleasing to God, we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves to God as approved workers. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. So again, going back to Ephesians 4, where it's talking about putting off the old things, and there's a lot of things that are enumerated and listed, putting off, having a renewal of your mind, and then putting on the new things. We find that again here in Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Put that off. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we want to know, if we want to find out, if we want to discover or test what God's perfect will is, his pleasing will, if we want to know how to please the Lord, we present ourselves to God. We offer ourselves to God. It's just the simplest thing. It's really what we're designed and made for. That's our greatest good, is to be worshipers of the Creator of the universe that loves us, sent his Son and bled and died for us. We're not to be conformed to the pattern of the world. As you read through all the Scripture, you're going to find a lot of stories about people that conformed to the world and people that conformed to a renewal of their mind with following after God, and the consequences between the two. If we want to find out how to please the Lord, let's not conform to the world any longer. Renew your mind. How do you do that? Well, get back in the Word. The Word of God is trustworthy and true. It's been tested. It's been tried. And as we look at God's Word and we properly assess what it means and how to live it out, will be pleasing to God, and we'll even know for sure that what we're doing is part of his pleasing, good, and perfect will. In Hebrews 11, there's this chapter that oftentimes is looked to as the faith chapter, and there's a number of characters from the Old Testament that are listed throughout Hebrews 11, and one of them is Enoch. And in verses 5 and 6, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So how do we know what Enoch's style was? Well, he walked with God. That's the way I learned it in the King James Version. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for the Lord took him. He experienced fellowship with God. That's what was pleasing to God. If we choose to keep turning to God, and a number of the other verses that we'll look at are talking about prayer and intercession and all of these different ways where we communicate with God, do you know that Father God wants us to communicate with Him? It's pleasing to Him that we bring our problems, our trials, our troubles, our joys, our issues, everything that touches us in life, whether it's individually or in community, as we recognize there's really only one solution to our problem. It's turning to God. We keep on lifting up our lives to Him. We present ourselves to Him. We offer ourselves to Him as living sacrifices. And that's what Enoch did. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. There again, there's a pretty good clue right there. How do we please God? If we want to find out what pleases the Lord, let's have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. During this pandemic time, I've had 3 or 4 people tell me that they're angry with God. And I say, thank you, Lord. Because if they're angry with God, they know He exists. And that's a starting place. It's impossible to please God if you don't believe that He even exists. But if you know enough about God that you can be angry with Him and you don't like the way He's treating the world and you don't like what's happening in your life and you bring that anger to Him, if you just go to Him, present yourself to Him, be a worker bee that's willing to say, Lord, I'm angry with You. And He's big enough that He can handle that. And I know that as we turn to God and recognize who He is and who we are, our hearts and our lives are changed. So believing that He exists, but then the next part of that, in order to truly please the Lord, I don't think He's really excited to see people coming at Him angry all the time. What parent would be? But if we believe He exists and that He rewards those that earnestly seek Him, if we only go to Him in anger, that's a problem. That's a broken relationship. But if we go to Him when we're angry and we say, Lord, I'm angry with You, and He says, you know, let's talk about this. Why are you angry? Because I died for you? Because I gave everything up for you? Because I love you? Because you don't deserve anything that I share with you? You know, I send my rain on the just and the unjust. Just because you're being blessed doesn't mean that you're special and deserve it. Just because you're suffering a little bit doesn't mean that I've turned my back on you. When you walk through the water, you won't be drowned. When you go through the fire, you won't be burned. God will take care of us, and He will reward those who earnestly seek Him. We can seek Him with our whole heart. And that includes all of our emotions. If anger is part of what's going on in our life, seek God. Turn to God. That little story of Enoch, it's well worth the time if you want to research it a little bit more. Another verse, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 is the verse that really want to zero in on. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. That doesn't tell me very much, and I need to look at it in context. So I'm going back to verse 9 and then all the way through verse 14, with 10 kind of smack dab in the middle of all that. Starting Colossians 1:9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So here's Paul, he's writing to the church in Colossae, and he's asking, he's saying, I've heard about these people, and since I heard about them, I keep wanting to pray for them that God would continue to fill them up with wisdom, with knowledge, with understanding of who the Spirit is and what the Spirit gives, so that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. So you can live a life worthy of the Lord and you can please Him in every way if you understand and you have wisdom and you recognize that it's the Spirit that gives all these good things. And then after that verse 10, there's a colon. And the part that comes after it also has to do with what it means, living a life worthy and pleasing the Lord. Bearing fruit in every good work. Last week we talked a lot about good and about goodness and good work. And if we're bearing fruit in every good work, last week was about the fruit of the light. Bearing fruit in every good work. If we have Holy Spirit dwelling in us as a community and in the church, there will be good fruit that comes from that. We're going to be bearing good fruit. That's pleasing to the Lord. Growing in the knowledge of God. We keep wanting to know more and more of God. Not just about God, but knowing the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. So this isn't just all of our own power. This isn't something that we can buy some exercise equipment on Amazon and get really buff and then, you know, I want to pump you up. It's none of that. This is about the power according to His, God's glorious might, so that you might have or may have great endurance and patience. Why would we need endurance and patience? Because there's going to be problems. And giving joyful thanks to the Father, even through those problems, if we can come to the point where we're not going to God because we're angry with Him, but we're going to God thanking Him for whatever He's doing, we know that it's in our best interest that He's going to turn everything to good. Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. God has adopted you into the family if you're part of the fellowship of Christ. And He qualified you. You didn't qualify yourself. There's nothing that any of us can do to make ourselves qualified. But because the Father has qualified us, we can share in that inheritance. The inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. And again, oftentimes when we're talking about what pleases God, this word light keeps coming up. It's just, it's part of, you know, God doesn't like darkness and deception and deceit. He likes light and truth and goodness and righteousness and holiness, all that is pure. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you want to know what pleases God, recognize what the Spirit gives. Enjoy that opportunity to walk in light instead of in darkness. Put off the old, put on the new, renew your minds. It keeps coming back to the same things over and over again. It's not complicated, it's not difficult, but it's hard to live out. And we certainly can't do it in our own strength. We need Holy Spirit and what He gives. We need the Father that chooses to qualify us to share in the inheritance. And again, I'm going back to a verse that I believe I shared last week, Micah chapter 6, and verse 8 is a verse that's very familiar to a lot of people. But what's coming before that, I'm only going to read verses 7 and 8. And it's talking about, again, what pleases God? What does He really like? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Micah's just putting out this concept. How religious do you think God wants you to be? And the answer is, none of that's really going to matter if your heart's not right. You can be religious, you can do the right things, you can be in the right place and say the right things, but if your heart's crooked and broken and not attached to God, it's all for naught. Verse 8, He has shown you, O mortal, He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Is the Lord pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil for offerings? Is the Lord pleased with us even giving up our family? He's shown us what we need to do. We just need to act justly. It's like He's not just told us. He's shown us. If we look at God and He demonstrated through Jesus Christ a perfect life, what does that look like? He's shown us to act justly, to love mercy. There were so many times where Jesus, if I were Him, with my fallen mentality in mind, it's like, okay, people are being really bad. Let's judge them. And He's like, wow, people are being really bad. I think I'll go die for them. people are being really bad, I think I'll just be patient and do my best to draw them to the Father. Walk humbly. He never was all about himself. He could have taken over the world easily. But he showed love, mercy, and humility as he walked in a perfect and righteous and just manner. Micah 6:8, another verse worth learning. 1 Samuel is a verse that I'm going to turn to. 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. Now here's a situation where there was a new king in Israel. His name was Saul, and he had done some pretty good things as a king. And yet, there was a time where he decided that he knew a little bit better than what the prophet was telling him that the Lord had said. And so he went to a certain battle, and instead of doing everything he was supposed to do in that battle, he decided to keep back some of the things and take a lot of, and allow his soldiers to take a lot of the livestock and other goods from the land. And his excuse was, well, but the best of that, they're going to give a tithe. They'll give their 10%. They're going to give a good offering to the Lord. And I'm sure the Lord doesn't really mean what he says when he tells us what to do. He just mostly wants our offerings. So I'm going to be religious and we'll do this. And that way we can have more stuff and we can pretend that it's for God. It's kind of where you're coming from at this point. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." That's an example of somebody that didn't care to find out what pleased the Lord. He wanted to do what pleased himself. He was arrogant enough to think that he could have everything he wanted on his terms and then just give a portion of it, a part of it, to God. And he lost the kingdom because of it. There's a few selected scriptures just quickly to go through. In Colossians 3:20, there's a very simple verse that I know as a child I got to hear often. "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." It's not a stick, it's a carrot. Why would I obey my parents in everything? Well, it pleases the Lord. And if I want to find out what pleases the Lord, this is something that does, is obedience. If I'm a child, I'm to obey my parents. If I'm an employee, I need to do the very best I can for my employer. And all of those other verses that are around that, go ahead and go to Colossians 3 sometime and read through the verses in front of it and after it. And you'll find that there's a whole lot of things that are just set up there that are for individuals to know. Okay, if you're a husband, do this. If you're a wife, do that. If you're a slave, do this. If you're a servant, do that. And learn what it is, what's your role, and how should you best play that role out. If we do it as unto the Lord, we will be pleasing the Lord. That's a good thing. Something that is noticeable, if you read through all of Scripture, there's a number of places that talk about certain things that displease the Lord. One of them that jumps out at me is from Proverbs 20, verse 23, the second half of verse 23. "And dishonest scales do not please him." Dishonest scales don't please the Lord. Proverbs 15:8, "But the prayer of the upright pleases him." There we are again. It's like, okay, we shouldn't be in our life for what we can get out of it. We need to be turning to God in prayer, in thanksgiving, in righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm just going to start with verse 1. "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." So there's a pretty simple statement there. We should be praying for everybody. So when we think about somebody, whether it's because we miss them and wish we could be with them during this time of stay home, stay healthy, if we think of them, we should pray for them. petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving, thankful that they're still with us. If they're not, then pray about that. But praying for all people. And then there's a little part that's thrown in here. For kings and all those in authority. That's part of all people. It might be tempting to think, well, they're really not very nice, and they're just politicians, or they're just lawyers, or they're just whatever. And we don't think of them as people, and yet they fall into that category of all people here in 1 Timothy. And Paul's writing to young pastor Timothy, and he's explaining to him as a pastor especially, this is what you should be doing. Pray for everyone. Pray for kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Don't you feel blessed to be in America, where we can live a peaceful, quiet life, we can live a godly life, we can live a holy life, and in many cases they don't even tax us for it. It's a wonderful thing to know that we have a nation that allows us to have free worship of the one true and only God. We can even say that and not be in trouble. We can place God above the country. We can place God above all sorts of things, and we don't get imprisoned for it. We don't get persecuted. If you continue to pray for your kings and all those in authority, now we don't really have kings in America, but we have those that are in authority. Pray for them, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. It pleases the Lord if we bring all of our petitions to Him, and if we are seeking the goodness of our entire community, not just for me and the people I know close to me, not just me and my family. It's for all people. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. If you want to find out what pleases the Lord, it would be pleasing to the Lord if everybody in the world came to him, if everybody in the world counted Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord. That would please the Lord. If we can live godly and holy and quiet, peaceful lives visibly to the world, they may actually want part of that and find out from us, why are you so peaceful? And we can say, we know Jesus. Do you want to know Jesus? It's not just for us. He wants to know you too. He'd like you to be part of his family. He wants you to be able to enjoy the inheritance. He'd like to qualify you. You can't qualify yourself, but he can qualify you for an inheritance in the kingdom. That would be pleasing to the Lord. Today's text, live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. I'm going to close with a little section from Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. It's just a story that demonstrates the heart of Jesus our Lord and what pleases him. Jesus has been explaining to the disciples he's going to die. He's taken care of temple tax. He's done some other things previous to this. And then in verse 18, starting with verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I think if we ask most people, who's the greatest in America? You're going to have a lot of people coming up with individuals that they think are pretty wonderful. They, you know, if they're Trump supporters, they might say, Donald Trump is the greatest in America. If they're not, they might say somebody from CNN. I don't know what. But you might have someone trying to think through. And most of us, if we were asked about who's the greatest, our mind goes to who's in power, who's in authority, who has a lot of influence, who has this, who has that. And here's Jesus' answer. If we want to know the heart of Jesus, when he tells us to live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord, we need to know his heart. When he's asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. When we're looking for who's the greatest, that two-week-old baby that hasn't done anything and is one of the greatest. That little kid that we sometimes think is just a nuisance and is always into everything and is so curious, he's constantly asking questions and we can't get any peace around them. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If we don't learn to become like little children, we can't live as children of light. And we won't find out what pleases the Lord if we don't know the Lord's heart. The Lord's heart is, just humble yourselves in His sight. He will lift you up. Continuing on in this, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. If you want to be in the kingdom of heaven, we need to be humbling ourselves. We can't be trusting in our own minds, our own thoughts, our own sight, our own hands and feet. We can't be trusting in our own ability to act. We can't be trusting in what we think is the greatest in the kingdom. We need to humble ourselves, come as little children, and recognize we are helpless before you, Lord. We turn to Him and we recognize that He is God and we're not. Verse 10 of Matthew chapter 18. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. If we want to know what pleases the Lord, humility. But He also loves the individual. And He doesn't want any to perish. And He keeps wanting to find ways to draw people to Him. He's even saying some pretty drastic things here about, wow, you know, if you don't find Jesus, you might as well have all your hands and feet and eyes and everything plucked up, out and cut off. And it's like, you know, you'd be better off without any of that and still meeting Jesus than with all of that and going into the fire of hell. What pleases the Lord? He wants to bring everyone to Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have life everlasting. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to learn to walk in ways that are pleasing to You, to walk in the light, to live as children of light and find out what is pleasing to You, Lord. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.